Let's do it.
Okay. All right, everybody. This is Doobie Dudes, episode 122. We are back. It is a beautiful day in Brooklyn, New York. Emilio, how are we doing?
It's hot out there. You know, I got the finally got an AC. I installed it on July 4th, and it took me like 4 hours, but I was like, I have to get this installed or else there's no way I'm going to sleep, because I feel like it was like 90 degrees that day. And now I just have one for the whole apartment, so I have it blasting all day long, and I'm scared to get my first electricity Con Ed bill, because I know it's going to be pretty bad. But so I've been trying to got the same one you do, just not as powerful, and now I'm trying to keep it at 70, but just like on auto, like all day long.
Sure,
it's just like my kitchen is like, so it's so far away from like where the AC is. My kitchen's always kind of hot,
right?
But I'll you know, it's always hot in the kitchen, so I gonna live with that. But yeah, just trying to survive the heat. Got a lot of skincare updates, because had a wonderful facial with Sophie Pavitt. But before we get into that, how are you?
You know, listeners might be able to tell just by the few words I've already uttered that I am under the weather. I am sick. I've been sick for the last 3 days. I'm not sure exactly what it is I have, but it is definitely either a cold of some sort of, you know, summer, not hay fever. Hay fever is allergies, right? That's just like a colloquial term, right?
Is it allergies?
I don't know what hay fever is, but I was just like running hot a few days ago, just like, not just because it's fucking scorching outside, but for whatever it is I caught while partying last week for 4th of July, and now I'm suffering, and I'm just waiting for it to go away. But other than that, I've been feeling pretty good. Yeah, I've got some skincare updates for you as well. I think on the last episode or a couple episodes back, we promised the folks some you know, personal care protein, I'll say, for the show. Do you want to get into it? Do you want to let me know how that facial went? Yeah, I ran into Sophie Pavitt a couple weeks ago, and she, you know, first of all, meeting her IRL, she is just naturally just glowing, just like
I know.
You know, and again, we shouldn't, we were texting back and forth, you know, it's not always I guess our place to be commenting on a woman's age, but whatever her age is, subtract 20 years from it, because that's what she looks like.
Yeah.
And then she showed me some photos of some very, very exciting product development, which I'm not going to let the listeners know quite yet. That's not my tea to spill. But yo, it is a game changer, and
it's unique.
It's very unique, and I can't wait to get my hands on it. But Emilio, why don't you walk us through the Sophie Pavitt experience?
The Sophie Pavitt experience. It's a nice little spot in Chinatown. Like you said, I she opened the door, and she just had such a natural glow that I was in shock. But it's a small studio. It's got like it's really chill, you know, as we've heard. She walks you through like everything that she's doing for you. She's such a, you know, nice and easy person to talk to. But my skin, you know, with the restaurant, I haven't been exfoliating like at all during the summer. And I think what I'm realizing is that a lot of the products I was using too, like my moisturizer and some other stuff, that I realized thanks to her have been kind of clogging my pores. I'll share the routine in a bit, but I'm now like kind of stripped it down, but also moved to products that are a little lighter and won't be clogging my pores. But anyway, my favorite part of the facial was when she, have you ever had this done when they kind of like spray oxygen on you?
I've never had
like
that done.
Really, like it's just like air, but it's this like really cool feeling. It's like really cold air, but it doesn't feel like, you know, what cold air feels like. It feels kind of weird, but it felt nice. And she did that at the end of my facial, along with some LED, a lot of extractions, of course, and one of those masks similar to the ones Jill does, where it's like a jelly mask that feels so strange on your face because it slowly becomes really heavy, and it covers, like she put it over my eyes and then just peels it right off. Very, very nice. I was glowing after. So now I'm using, right after I went to 0035 millimeter, I picked up the Stradia Rewind Serum and the Isntree Hyaluronic Acid sunscreen that you gifted me last year, because I feel like that one's a lot lighter than the ones I was using. And then I'm now also using Ilyun Ceramide Addo Soothing Gel, because Sophie recommended switching to a gel moisturizer. And I will be now religiously using the Mandelic Acid as part of my routine to help with that exfoliation. But yeah, it's a great experience. I looked up how much like the standard facial cost after, and I was expecting to see like, you know, 200, 250. It's 169. So for New York, that's a very affordable price, unless I was looking at the incorrect information. But yeah, a lot of customizable options. I highly recommend booking with her, one of the other lovely people that work there.
Did you feel
you gotta,
what's up?
You got to get in there.
No, I got to get in there. Well, I always assumed that she was just constantly booked up, you know, just like 6 months. You have to book 6 months out, but that's not the case, you don't think?
No, I think like not easy, but like you can probably get a booking, you know, if you book like a month out.
Month out.
I'm also like not too sure how it works, since, you know, she hooked us
she
up.
She slid
with the,
in.
With the quick booking. But we chatted about, so we were, you know, talking about tour, talking about my 30th birthday coming up, and she was like, yeah, you should try Clear and Brilliant, which is like a laser facial, like it's non-invasive. But she was asking if like, if you and I do any sort of like laser treatments, and we're like, no, we haven't delved into there either. But she was like, you know, it's you're about to turn 30, it's time, maybe even a little like, no, not saying like I look busted, but you know, it'd be good to do a little bit of microneedling, maybe a PRP facial. So I think when I get back from tour, because I will surely be looking a little busted, I'm gonna do a PRP facial, or maybe microneedling the Clear and Brilliant, and we'll be able to chat about it on the podcast. And a new era of, I guess those aren't invasive treatments, but something other than your regular old custom facial.
Right, right. Did you feel like going to, like, are you know how before you go to the dentist or before you go to, I'm trying to think of another way to relate this, but you know when you go to the mm-hmm. dentist, you're like, oh shit, I better like brush my teeth really well, floss very well. That way when I get there, it's like they're not judging me for my dental hygiene. Did you feel like before going to Sophie a week in advance, you needed to get one of those fast casual facial?
Yeah, pre-facial. Not to that extent, but I was like a little like, I mean, I walked in and I was like, sorry, my skin's so bad right now. Because I also felt a lot of pressure, since that was the first time I was meeting her in IRL.
Right.
So, you know, I tried days leading up to it. I was really trying to take care of my skin, but yeah, I had a little acne, had a lot of congestion, but yeah, that was the extent of it. But yes. So I hope she wasn't like, that's the Dewey dude.
No. Oh my God. I mean, that's like how I'd feel going in right now. I mean, like, to be frank, I don't think I've ever looked so clapped in my life when it comes to my skin. And I think it has to do something with like the weather going on, like the weather right now.
Yeah.
I've been feeling having a lot of congestion around my nose, specifically like where like my cheek meets my nose, where like at least like the other day I woke up to maybe like three or four little whiteheads just right down the middle. Yeah, it was something I had never seen before. So I'm wondering what's going on there. But I don't know. I need to go in for a consultation and a facial. Yeah. Speaking of consultations, I went to the dermatologist last week mm-hmm. or over the weekend, because I had some concern about a spot that's been forming on my forehead, very near the site of a basal cell that I once had removed a couple years back, and it was giving me some cause for concern. And, you know, I went in there, and then I also just wanted to chat through this cyst on my head that I need to get taken off, that I'm finally at that point where I'm like, fuck this. Like, it needs to be extracted, removed. Like, stat, because I think it's just like, I'm starting to see that some hair is kind of like, you know, going away.
Okay.
So I'm going to get that removed. But so I go in, she checks it out, and it's kind of one of those things where I don't think I'm that much of a hypochondriac, but,
but she was like, what?
She looked at my forehead. She goes, where is it? Where's the spot? Where's the spot? Yeah. And then I had to show her like a picture that I took like a few weeks ago, because for whatever reason, when I'm working out all the time, like right after, it'll flare up and you can actually see it. Like I'll point it out to people, or I'll take a photo, share it with, you know, the GC. But I showed her that picture. She finally found it and she goes, okay, like, no, you don't need to worry about that. That doesn't look like a basal cell or anything cancerous. Yeah. But she did say it looks like, one, sun damage, and two, early signs of, I don't know if I'm pronouncing this right, but it's actinic keratosis, which I guess can eventually be cancerous. You usually see it like really like on much, much older people. But she said like it could develop into that. It may not. But for right now, nothing on my forehead looks like I shouldn't be alarmed about anything, which made me very happy, because you know my biggest fear is having nothing but scars before I turn 30. And but it was a pretty pleasant experience. She also, like, I forget the name of the treatment that she plugged, because it's also, she also does cosmetic dermatology, but they have some services about reducing like scars, where they actually go in and they fuck up the scar tissue, and I guess it's supposed to work wonders on its visibility. But
dude, you gotta go in with Sophie. As I was on my way out, she was like, tell Evan to come in. I can help with scar.
Okay, cool. All right, I'm gonna go in. I'm gonna DM her right after this. I swear to God, I will. But
anything.
Yeah, anything else with your personal care you wanna plug right now? Anything you're working
personal
in?
Care. Well, you know, as you know, I think I mentioned it on the last pod too. I started taking Nutrafol. And I'm using, so they have like three different treatments or whatever. Like the first is just like, you know, a month's supply of pills, and it's the least like intense, and it's just for like to be proactive about thinning. And then the other one, it just comes with like minoxidil, I think too. And it's, you know, for like your, it's called like the hairline defender, I think. And the most intense one does something to like block DHT or whatever. So it has like a DHT inhibitor. So I just went for like the cheapest ones, because I know I'm not suffering from alopecia, but I think this stuff really works. But it really works if you're not, like I said, if you're not suffering from alopecia and you're just maybe suffering from the cursed US food system or from stress or from whatever it may be, because I sent you a photo and it's been like 2 weeks now and I have like a lot of hair growth in the same areas where I was getting hair growth when I was doing those, what were they called? Mesotherapy hair treatments in Mexico. Obviously not as full as the results I was getting from those treatments, but I'm excited to keep it up to finish, because they said it's supposed to be 3 to 6 months till you see results. So I'm like, I don't know what this could be, right? Like the hair is there. I'm not imagining the new hair growth, right? It's got to be from that.
I mean, do you have a before photo?
I didn't take what I should have. I mean, I could probably find a photo of my forehead from like a month ago.
Well, the only thing you're buying really whenever you do any of this stuff is just confidence. So if you feel confidently that it's growing,
I mean, I'll even like, I'll send you like another pic in a sec. Like it's everywhere, you know, and it's kind of maybe that's it. Maybe confidence is all you need to fix that hairline.
Sure. Well, speaking of hairlines, I need to send this to you really quickly. I was going to share it, and maybe we can include it in the carousel. I don't know why this came up on my Twitter feed, but created or caught by Rap House TV is an image of maybe like five men on their way back from Turkey from getting a budget hair transplant. And I know we've talked about it before on the show, but this is confirmation that, you know, they're actually doing it. There are group trips to Turkey to get a $2,000 hair transplant. And will I do it one day? I don't know. Maybe I will.
I don't know if I ended up sending you the video, but one day my fucking YouTube feed randomly like was showing me a lot of videos of guys like in their early 30s that had gone to Turkey to do these hair transplant treatments. And I wasn't aware that like you like, yeah, they have to like, they shave your whole like head. It's like a long recovery process.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, how do you go do that with that? And it's like this guy's head was all like bruised from like, it's obvious, but I didn't realize that like these treatments, it's like they're pulling hair from other areas and like inserting it or like hair follicles and inserting them on the top of your head. So it's kind of like an intense procedure.
Yeah. I mean, you have to literally like not show your face for a few months. Like the best time to probably do it is after maybe an online cancellation, maybe a sabbatical from your tenured job at uni. I don't know. Like that's the only thing that I think that would, not that like I'm that, I guess, insecure about my slowly receding hairline, and maybe I need to, apply the comb over mindset from Jonah Weiner's Blackbird Spy Plane to my life a little bit and just let it kind of go. But yeah, I don't know. Like I think that's the thing that would kind of give me pause. 'Cause it's like, all right, if you're going to go and get a hair transplant, you don't really want people to know about it. Like you would do it preventatively. And like, once you do the whole entire, I've shaved my head bald, I'm plugged up, which I don't even understand. Is it plugs? I don't really understand how it works. Maybe I need to do a little more research on it.
Yeah.
I just don't want people knowing about it. But I think Turkey's done a pretty good job at figuring out the hair transplant. What I think that they're butchering, and you'll see this come up on Twitter or wherever the fuck, Threads, wherever the fuck you get your stuff now, videos of like, of men going and getting like their kind of Roman nose, what I'm talking about, the Roman nose, getting these these rhinoplasties to get these like Peter Pan nose to look like the TikTok e-girls. And it's just like, they're like, I'm assuming it's probably Turkey, 'cause it's probably, not that expensive.
Yeah.
They're butchering them. They're butchering our boys.
Our boys are under attack, whether it's down under or on the nose.
Really, they really are. What else did I want to share about skincare? Oh, okay. No, this is big. Okay. All right. So something we haven't talked about on the podcast maybe ever. It's skincare related, and it's not protection from UV rays. It's protection from the goddamn motherfucking bugs. And last week I had bugs.
Okay.
Last week I had a rude awakening to their bite. Do you feel like, all right, so when you live in the city, outside the occasional roach, outside like, the occasional fruit fly that may emerge from your rotting produce that you're neglecting because you're eating out for every meal, or like just random gnats that during the summer, like you really kind of, you won't really get bit by mosquitoes. Would you agree with that?
Because during summer, you won't get bit by mosquitoes.
Well, like in the city, in New York specifically.
I feel like that was the case. I've been getting kind of bit this year, which is the first time that I've noticed it, but not like a lot. Like I remember like in Kansas, like I would like go outside and you'd come back in with like 20 mosquito bites. Do you feel like it was like that in Kansas?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. When I was younger, I didn't really suffer too much from mosquito bites. Like, honestly, I don't think they did, but I, for whatever reason. So, last week when I spent some time up in rural Massachusetts,
you got bit up,
bro. They were fucking eating me alive. They were going Luca,
Guadagnino,
bones and all on my ass, looking like Macaulay. I was looking like Macaulay Culkin from My Girl. Do you ever see that movie?
I didn't see that.
Didn't see that movie?
I'll Google it.
All the millennial honeys, well, they'll know. They'll know what I'm talking about. Yeah, it was not good. However, there were some products on hand by the pool. Because, all right, we're up in rural Massachusetts. This guy has his parents own this big place, the place. And we're just sitting by the pool all day. But so we had some products off to the side. And, luckily Anna Anna, I was going to say my girlfriend, you can choose whichever one you want to bleep out. But, Anna
was up to you, King, not me.
No, I mean, I don't know. All right. So Anna, you know, she already anticipated this being an issue. So she comes strapped with
bug spray,
with this Japanese joint by this brand called Fumakilla. Fumakilla called Skin Vape. It's called Skin Vape. Brother, we're vaping skin. And it was branded with this like Hello Kitty nonsense. So, I mean,
where'd you buy it?
This Japanese market in Williamsburg, and that's what was the draw, was there was Hello Kitty on the product. So she was like, I'm getting that skin repellent, that bug repellent. So that worked out pretty okay. But I think the bugs that were really eating us weren't necessarily the mosquitoes. But have you ever heard of greenheads?
Greenheads. No, I don't think so.
I had never heard of them before, and maybe it's because I live under a rock, or I'm really showing my ass that I don't go out very often. But I think maybe it's like a regional bug. Maybe.
Yeah, I was going to say maybe it's native to like... Okay, all right. Keep going.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think those were the ones really, really doing the biting. And so some of the ladies I was with, they were applying not like... just generic like Off. Have you heard of the brand Off?
Off, yeah.
Off bug spray. They were applying Avon Skin So Soft bath oil, because I guess there's like this online community that swears that this specific bath oil will, like, I don't know if it like necessarily drowns the bugs as they attach to your skin or what's going on.
Yeah.
But it seemed to do the trick for the most part. But I don't know, man. I think there's just something in my blood that just attracts these
drown
little,
all
little fuckers.
Drown all bugs, dude.
Well, the thing is, I didn't really put on a lot of, like, I think the ingredient in bug spray that is really supposed to deter all bugs is called DEET.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And I mean, Off has that. So I don't know. But there was some Off. I just didn't use it. I didn't want to tell everybody, like, you know, when I needed it. I didn't want to tell them to get me off, you know?
Hand it over, yeah. Oh. pass the Off. Yeah. Greenheads are an Atlantic Coast thing.
Okay.
That's what I read. So that's probably... it makes sense that we are not familiar with this variety of bug. But anyway, yeah. What should we get into... to the
cultural meat,
not the cultural meat. Yeah,
yeah, the cultural meat. What do you want to start with? Do you want to start with how to fix a man?
What's the other stuff?
I mean, I think that's it. How to fix a man. What else did I put down? I wrote down girl dinner.
Oh, I didn't read the, let's talk about girl dinner, because you can walk me through it, because I've seen a lot of articles on it, but I have the, even though so the Post wrote about it first. They beat the New York Times to, Byline and the Post, I think, beat the New York Times to it. But I haven't read, which article did you
read? I didn't read any of them. It's just like, it doesn't need to be written about. It. Like, that's,
yeah, you see, like, no, you see the image and.
Yeah. Like, no disrespect to our wonderful journalists and, you know, culture analysts out there. But like, when I see an image and I hear that TikTok is doing this thing called girl dinner, where it's just a plate of like someone probably, I don't know. It kind of like reminds me of, and not to like make light of the issue of eating disorders, but it kind of reminds me of that. It's like,
okay.
Cause it's just a small plate of just like snacks.
It's like a charcuterie. It's like a bad charcuterie board.
It's not really like a meal, but the thing is, I think that's like the girl codedness of it, where it's like, oh, like girls don't eat like hearty meals, cause that's for boys. Girls do like low calorie snacks and they call that a dinner. But I didn't really read any of the think pieces about it. But it did get me thinking about what a boy dinner might look like. And
boy dinner would look like that one TikTok video we fucking discussed a couple episodes back. I feel like the guy making like the day in the life of a guy with like a normal 9-to-5 or whatever. I feel like it's also specific to, like...
I mean, it kind of depends on the boy, you know, like...
Exactly.
I don't know, like... I don't know why this popped in my head, but, like, you know, if you're hot or Biden, your boy dinner is fucking a crack pipe and a cell phone. Or if you're... I don't know. If you're me, your boy dinner is a bowl of slop from Chipotle for the fifth time in the work week, which that is, that pains me to admit on the podcast, but when you're alone, which I'm not, but like when you're, when you're ordering for one, I mean, yeah, I feel like all the boy dinners are depressing as hell. I don't think they have the opportunity to get real cute with it. Like the girl dinner.
Yeah.
Yeah. The thing is, the thing is, if I saw a boy making a dinner as aesthetic as the girls make the dinner, the trad food influencer would come out of me. I said, what are you as a man doing making your dinner aesthetic? You know, like, why are you doing that? What would your boy dinner be?
My boy dinner, dude. Not sometimes there is no dinner, dude. There, dude, it would just be slop from the restaurant. That's the thing. It'd be fucking a tortilla and rice and some chile. And that's fucking it.
That's girl dinner,
That's girl dinner, dude.
That's girl dinner.
Well, yeah. I just think it's funny that it's the last thing I'll say on it. It's just like another one of those TikTok trends where, it's like, I don't know. We're putting a term. It's like the what was it? The fucking 3-hour shower, the everyday, what was the shower thing? All the depression terms.
Yeah. Bed rotting. Infinity shower, or it's called like an extra shower. What was it called? It was called impossible shower.
Everything shower.
Yeah. So what do you think about that? I mean, part of me, I just think it's funny how society. All right. No, I asked you first. Go ahead.
No, it's just, I'm like, do we really need to put a title to it? Like in the New York Times article, it was like, it says, Olivia Maher, not sure if I'm saying that right. Like she first posted the video that went viral, I think. And she said she and her friend had been discussing the unmatched perfection of bread and cheese as a meal unto itself. As simple as it is satisfying. We love eating that way. And it feels like such a girl dinner because we do it when our boyfriends aren't around and we don't have to have what's a typical dinner, essentially with a protein and a veggie and a starch, which is also like, that's a very specific kind of guy that like every meal has to be like, we need our protein. Like we need the starch.
Yeah. He's meal prepping for the gym, you know,
like you got a charcuterie board and some wine. It's not like a novel. Like it's the girl dinner.
Yeah.
I mean, have your fun.
Sure.
I just think it's funny how they, they think all these wordsmiths out there inventing, creating new terms for.
That's exactly what it is. It's all these wordsmiths. I mean, yeah, you would think like everybody is just like gunning to work at some branding agency as like as a naming and identity person. It's, but you know, that's what the algorithm rewards.
Oh, for sure.
Also, I think like for the most part, for a certain, I guess, social and economic class of people, they have to turn like the mundane into something like novel.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's kind of another example of it. Or just kind of attaching words to, but I mean, that's always been the case, but I think what gets really, really, I don't know. And I'm kind of with, Anna had something to say about the girl dinner, but like I'm kind of on board with her in a little way in that like, all right, so yeah, there's this thing called the girl dinner that all these like TikTok teens are doing because they're having fun.
Mm-hmm.
But then like just the writing about it.
Oh yeah.
It's kind of like, all right, that's like, you're making it a little bit too serious, you know?
Yeah, for sure. I read something recently. I think it was like, it might have been Caitlin Phillips that was saying something about like another TikTok trend or something in like media. Oh, she was kind of talking about Ozempic, I think, like the Ozempic craze. And she was like, yeah, to a certain extent, it's a thing, but it's also like all this writing specifically like from New York media outlets really turns it into this thing that it's like actually like not that big of, you know what I mean?
Sure.
Like, I feel like that's what happens with like the bed rotting, the girl dinner, but they're just... Those hardworking journalists are just doing their job.
Right. And another example of that, we can get to Caitlin Phillips later because she's quoted in this other piece we want to talk about. But the New York Times reporting on crop tops for men, kind of knowing what they were doing in that like they... all right. So they wrote this whole entire piece about like crop tops, men showing showing their midriffs, going fucking Winnie the Pooh mode on everybody, like that being like this new emerging trend. But they kept saying men, which, you know, yeah, men, like the gays are doing this. Yeah, that's a man. But
bro,
like
Cody James is straight as hell,
bro. He's all right. Cody James is shout out to our former guest, Cody James.
Yeah,
going fucking Harry Styles mode, with the bait and switch. But
yeah,
it truly. So you had the gays kind of got mad at this because they're like, yo, like New York Times, don't say men, just say gays.
Yeah,
and then the Fox News weirdos picked it up being like, well, this isn't really a trend. Men aren't actually doing this. Who's actually doing this? You know, no one's actually showing their midriff. I live in fucking I live in Knoxville and I've never seen a man in a crop top in my life. And yeah, I mean,
probably right.
He's probably right. Yeah, it literally is just like, but I don't know if Knoxville has a, is Knoxville even a place? It has to be.
Yeah, Knoxville, Tennessee.
Knoxville's a place. I thought for a minute it wasn't. Maybe Knoxville does have a pride parade, and maybe you could have seen some crop tops donned by the fellas there. But I think it's also maybe specifically a New York phenomenon too, right?
You're seeing crop tops in Washington Square Park and Tompkins Square Park. Yeah.
And of course, like, whatever. You can argue that, like, culture trickles down from New York. I don't know if that's necessarily the case anymore. Like, maybe it is, but I understand that the whole point of these culture pieces now are to kind of like infuriate and have podcasts like us talk about them. But speaking
just
of
like, yeah, just like, go ahead.
Speaking and just of, like that. And just what? Like that. Well,
and just
we,
like that.
We got two segues here. You know, speaking of Caitlin Phillips and then speaking of, and just like that, kind of a modern day, Carrie Bradshaw, Carly Ciortino, is that her name?
Wait, who?
The woman who wrote the piece we're about to talk about. Yeah, Carly Ciortino.
Yeah, sorry.
Yeah, do you know anything about her?
No. Do you?
Yeah, she's like she was a sex columnist, and she kind of still is. She was also, remember that one show about Chicago before The Bear? There was a show called Easy.
Oh, she yeah.
And she plays the sex worker. The sex worker episode. All right. So yeah. So she wrote this, and you shared this with me this morning, and it kind of fits in with the general feeling this week about boundaries and men. it was an opinion piece by Carly titled "Can You Change a Man?" And I guess let's answer that. Can you change a man?
Yeah. Well, there's a lot of like. good points made in the piece for like different sorts of guys. And I also, okay, this article really had me thinking about sort of what I always say. I won't speak for you, but I feel like when, you know, we're often asked about men getting into skincare, like how do we get men into skincare? Like how is this crazy skincare boom? Like what's this crazy skincare boom done for men? And I'm always like, all right, there's a certain kind of man, one who also cares about his fashion sense, cares about maybe the appearance of his hair, et cetera, who could likely be persuaded to get into skincare or more into skincare. Now, if he wants to get into it for reasons like getting an old beach as a reward.
Oh my God.
Who knows how long now we'll touch on that in a bit. Who knows how long that'll last? Like let's say they break up, it's a 50-50 whether his interest in skincare develops further or just dies out. Like I still think like there's a lot of dudes that just like, you're not going to get them into skincare. Maybe they'll like start using some random ass moisturizer and sloppily applying it to their face. And like, that's
sure.
It. But they're never going to go beyond that one step.
Right.
Do you think, which, you know, in the article, they're like, I don't remember who says often, I think that aligns with someone that said often you can elevate a man's taste with something in a specific area, but you're not gonna like completely change it.
I think if they're already like skincare curious or they've dabbled in skincare products before, like I think you could elevate them a little bit. I don't know, I think it depends on the man. I think men typically aren't like, I feel like skincare for a lot of people is not only isn't necessarily attached to vanity. It's attached to insecurity. And that's something that's ingrained, I think. I think that happens at a very young age. Or self-awareness, like skincare is attached to self-awareness, meaning like, oh, like in order to continue to have whatever, you know, this youthful glow, or, you know, you're going to have to be using these products. But I think, right. So wait, what's the question here? I was just kind of like thinking out loud. I was going on a rant.
Do you think, well, I guess it was like a two-part question. Like, the title of the article, do you think men, you can change men. Wait, is that the title of the article?
The title of the article.
Can you change a man?
Yeah.
And then I was pondering on the question, the follow-up question then, can you get a man into skincare?
I mean, I think you can. Actually bleep that out. Well, we know how.
You gotta pay us. We're not giving that info away for free. We're open for consulting.
We'll let you know how to get a man into skincare. I feel like we actually do know how to get a man into skincare, but we can't air that out on the pod. I mean, you could do a little bit of 4D chess on him and have him develop, start feeding him just like shit so he just starts breaking out, or you know, kind of doing like a Munchausen's by proxy sort of thing, where you know he's blowing up with zits, and then the only way for him to get into skincare is he comes to you to soothe the pain, and then he gets curious about the products, and he says after he's all healed, he says, "Never again, queen. I've finally converted."
Yeah, that's one way to do it, and then the other way is the way that was mentioned in the article: positive reinforcement.
Positive reinforcement, which you alluded to something that stood out to me in this piece.
Yeah,
you use the word beige, which I haven't heard in a long time. But so I guess Carly in this opinion, she talks about the one time she was dating this guy who just didn't really have much of a fashion sense, and you know, kind of irked her a little bit. So she took him shopping one day, and using positive reinforcement, once he put on that fire fit that she picked out for him in the dressing room, she sucked him off. But sorry, that's God yelling at me for saying that. All right, but something stood out to me in this piece. So when Carly calls up Caitlin Phillips, who was mentioned earlier and also mentioned on the last podcast, free publicity for the publicist. Caitlin, when she asked Caitlin the question, like, can you fix a man? Caitlin kind of rolls her eyes, kind of annoyed at the question, and is just like flat out like, no, you can't.
Yeah.
And she describes that she does, what, go ahead.
Well, she does say, if you're lucky, you can tweak the surface, and then go ahead.
Well, most of the things, I think, like generally speaking, when, you know, as Carly puts it, like women love projects, when it comes to men that they want to see, they're trying to correct some character flaws, which I think, or personality traits, which I think, you know, what Caitlin says, you got to give up on those. Like, you got to either realize who you're dating and say, hey, that's either for me or not for me. You know, you can send them a long text saying, these are my boundaries. And if not, I'm just kidding.
okay.
Yeah. Or you can just choose to accept them, which I think the latter is a very beautiful thing to do. I think, you know, depending on like whether or not someone gives you the ick or someone actually like freaks you out. Mm-hmm. Like, I think if some things that your man does, they kind of give you the ick in like very surface level terms.
Yeah.
I think that's fine. I think that's acceptable. You got to accept those things. And accept the fact that you can't change it. And you got to decide whether or not that's for you or not. Or yeah, if that's for you, if it's not for you.
Yeah.
Right? sorry, I just had a thought about I was gonna ask you. What do you all right. We won't get into things that we wish we could change about other people.
Yeah.
But are you, have you ever identified things in yourself that you've noticed people wanting to change? Or the things that you wish you could change that you know you probably can't?
Yeah, but it's, I don't know if like, no, I wouldn't say they like tried to, I think I've dated very lovely people that have not tried to change me, but there are definitely things or like personality traits that I know are not my best traits that have irked them, or just like I'm very stubborn and it's very hard to convince me of something once like my mind is set on something.
Sure.
And I could be a little more open to like reasoning, etc. And I think that's something that's annoyed people, but I've never dated someone that like was actively trying to change that.
Yeah. Well, it's funny because it's like, all right, did I already mention this? But the whole entire like the basis for like Caitlin's take is that like most of these things are like central organizing principles in people's personalities, you know?
Yeah. Like, that like,
yeah. If someone's insecure, like when you met them, they're going to continue to be insecure. Or if
for
you're
sure.
an asshole, like you're, that's never going to change. Like, I mean, yeah, I think it's,
I think it's
interesting as a guy reading this and like kind of noticing these things about yourself. Mm-hmm. That you may ponder, oh, is this hurting my relationships? Has this hurt relationships in the past? Will I ever be able to like, you know, get over these things? You know, how much of therapy is actually working? Is it a scam? But I don't know. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's kind of like it's like that makes you start thinking like, oh, what are the ingredients that work? Like, could what type of woman is okay with being like with an asshole kind of guy? Like what kind of woman's okay mm-hmm. with, you know, handling the very insecure guy? Should those people like just not have be in a relationship at all? You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. So it makes me ask those questions.
Yeah. 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 I think you just got to ask yourself whether you're okay with like, is this something that stems from, like she mentioned, like some very like deep rooted pillar that formed like early on in life, or is it something more like surface level that's, you know,
yeah, you can change. I the one yeah, thing but, I'm really trying to work on, I think, is I think I make too many crass jokes.
Okay.
Or like I'm always trying to get a bit off that I'm trying to correct that.
Yeah.
You know, like I think sometimes I pretend, or I start believing that like all social interactions can exist on Twitter, and that's just not right. Okay. And that's something I'm kind of working on right now.
Yeah. Well, do you think having a podcast makes it worse? Like makes you like more inclined to like get bits?
Well, it depends. If I'm with people I know who are like very online, I don't quite mind it. And when I mean like crass jokes, I don't mean I hope that I'm not making people uncomfortable. That this is why I'm kind of like, am I, you know, because no one's actually said anything to me. I think I've just noticed like some moods that switch, you know, if I say something a little bit, maybe a little further than PG-13 and nothing like harassing, like, but I don't
locker
know.
Locker room talk.
Yeah, not even that. It doesn't even come off like that aggressive. I don't know. Like, this is just something.
Is it just like the, maybe it's just like the bro? Is it like the bro speak?
It's the bro speak. Yeah, it's the bro speak. It's like, I don't know. I think also I'm trying to like square that with the fact that, yo, bro, I'm about to be 30. Like, I shouldn't be talking like this, you know? But maybe I'm just bringing my personal issues into this podcast for everybody to listen to. But
yeah, well, have you listened to Throwing Fits?
Yeah, but look, I think they're part.
No,
yeah,
I'm just kidding. Yeah, I think we're both our 30th birthdays are coming up, and I think we're both doing a lot of reflecting.
Dude,
at least I'm for sure.
Yeah, I've been doing too much reflecting, I think, to the point where it's not helpful, or it's actually more like. Mm-hmm. We're all like a piece of like a work of art, or like, you know, some kind of content will really move me. like in a negative way about like where I'm now kind of starting to really, really see myself as very post coming of age, where I'm very kind of like, oh wait, this is how people, like, even though we're not middle age, like this is how people, middle age people feel all the time, where they start to feel invisible. And I'm starting to kind of like feel that way just a little bit. And it's been affecting me for the last like couple of weeks, I'll tell you that. Which is an insane thing maybe for a 29-year-old guy to say. And I, that, you know, the irony isn't lost on me there.
Invisible. Yeah. How, in what, like, in what ways are you feeling invisible?
I
also, you don't have to.
I feel like I'm in therapy right now. Well, I mean, just, it's more of just kind of like your opportunities are up. You know what I mean? Maybe it's not even invisibility. Okay. It's more of kind of like, yeah, like, I guess if you were to, maybe it isn't necessarily about invisibility. It's more of just kind of thinking like, oh, that one pocket of time, that one, like, you know, 5 years out of school that you had to like put yourself on track for whatever it is you want is gone. You know, like, I think that's what I'm like kind of wrestling with, which I know like intellectually is not true, but I feel like currently it's, you know, when you kind of used to have like all that like ambition as a young kid, and like there's so much possibility about the future, and that, you know, like if you took some, you know, roundabout way to get to some, from point A to point B, or you wandered off a little bit, you never really thought you were off track because there was still time to get on track. It's like, I feel like that's closing, and it's.
Yeah. No, I get that. I get that, because I feel like, I'll believe it. That every day, like the you're off track, and it's like, it's not okay anymore, because that, and it's and like, that's also not, that's like a, that's pretty harsh, but
sure, yeah, it is.
But I do it's kind of, I feel you, that it's a difficult thing to kind of like try to like not think about,
where it's kind of like, I don't know, or I think about it all the time, and it isn't helpful to think about it or obsess about it, because I think at the end of the day, it's like, your life is what you make of it, and where you land at any given point isn't always going to be, one, you're just like, you're not the cause of it all the time, you know, like,
yeah.
And at the end of the day, it's like, all right, well, on track for what? Like, we're all headed to the same goddamn place, right? Like, I don't know, but
you know, inshallah, it all works out. Should we get into some segments?
Let's get into some segments. Yeah, let's do it. I don't really have... Well, I haven't really, like, workshopped this. No, I mean, I think I haven't workshopped this to be rude. I haven't written it down. I haven't really even, like, formulated it. But lately, I've just kind of been noticing... maybe it's because we do a lot of research on this podcast to kind of figure out, like, you know, the whole entire masculinity panic, and I don't know, like, just... guys who are so just kind of insecure about what it means to be like, to be a man in modernity, and they're really like overcompensating that. Like, I just start getting these like tweets from accounts I don't follow, like showing up on my timeline, that it's just I don't know. Like, I know, like, on this podcast, we like ask these questions, but we never really land anywhere where we're very like convicted, you know, like in our opinions or our thoughts about like how the fellas actually should be, just because I think that issue should just be dismissed altogether, like, not in like a, you know, a pandering kind of way, but I think like the fellas out there who are being gassed up by whoever these, like, I don't know, incel like followers are, like, I don't know, but like, I think they need to stop thinking about this thing. I think they need to stop thinking about what it means to be a man and the right and wrong ways to be a man, like, because it's,
yeah,
I understand what's driving it, and it's a deep like broken insecurity that you know, that according to Caitlin Phillips, you'll never change, and I'm just like, I think I'm just kind of like over it. Like, I'm not over it talking about it on the show, but I am over, like, it is giving me some, like, it's giving me some concern that we're like really doing weird, like, it seems that sometimes it's a joke, like we're doing this gender essentialism shit, which is fine. It's like, LMAO, nothing's that serious. But I think a lot of people are taking it to heart, and they're actually seeing that they're being rewarded online for it. So they just keep going and going and going more outrageous. It just got to the point where it's like, I saw this clip on my timeline that was making fun of, like, the person who was like quote retweeting it. They were like making fun of it. This video of this, like, these men in their, like, you know, their mid-30s in cosplaying, like, like boot camp with this fake motivational, like, army sergeant who is this, like, you know, very beefy, you know, this beefy guy with, like, a beard, and he's just yelling at them, being like, "You're all pussies. This is why your wives left you." It's like people are signing up for this. Like people are signing up for this, like, project where this guy literally tries to, like, I don't know, invoke the fucking the terror of an army drill sergeant into you, thinking it's gonna, like, fix you.
Yeah,
and I just think it's just like, it's just not necessary. You don't need that, like, kind of tough love. Anyway, so I just kind of went on a rant, but I don't know. I'm just like, whoa, I thought this was all fun and games, but maybe I'm showing my ass.
Yeah, no,
maybe, like,
you.
That's the thing. Maybe, I don't know. So that's my Dewey Rude.
No, I agree with that Dewey Rude. Yeah. I don't have one that intense. It's just, I'm still holding out hope, but I did order the Caroline Calloway memoir 3 weeks ago now, and Nothing has arrived yet.
She can't keep getting away with it.
Did I get scammed?
She can't keep getting away with it.
Did I get scammed? But so but I know people, but they're also like they got the like the press review copies. So I don't know if I actually know anyone, you know, any just regular old person that got it, but we'll see. So,
Dude of the week goes out to Aubrey Drizzy, the boy Graham, for just continuously being silly with it.
Oh, shit.
No matter what, not taking life too seriously, whether it be publishing a book full of one-liner poems, whether it be kicking off his tour with holographic sperm cells flying around him, whether it be posting on the story clowning on Chicagoans for their attachment to Malort, whether it be praising Taylor Swift on her album drop with using a photo of someone who isn't even Taylor Swift and saying, like, "Congrats, sis, I'm dialed in." I just think I think his self-awareness should be applauded. I think he's no longer in his villain era. He's somewhere else. Maybe he's Joker-fied. Maybe he's, I love seeing it. I love Aubrey, and that's a dude of the week. A quick another one. I saw the Jennifer Lawrence movie, No Hard Feelings. And I have no idea why people were hating on her, like, for the last, like, 10 years. She's great. She's great.
Yeah. I've always liked her.
Okay. All right.
The week. I had Drake.
Oh, Drake was yours.
Was mine. Sorry. Just because I saw the Malort. You know, all the Chicago homies were.
Damn. Well, I got two big moments in this podcast. One Chicago mentioned. Another one Massachusetts mentioned.
Yeah.
That doesn't happen very often.
Do we do's and don'ts?
You got any?
I got a light one. You know, do if you feel like your pores are more clogged than usual in this, we're going to have a crazy week in New York. It's going to be hitting almost 100 degrees one day. Going to be in the 90s all week, I think. Try switching over to a gel moisturizer. Something
that's a good
lighter.
One. Go for a bug spray that is DEET based. You know, it might be bad for your lungs, but it'll keep you from looking like Macaulay Culkin.
Do you know, do try celebrating your birthday this year, even if you're not a birthday person. I was like, you know, I'm going to be like traveling from Charlotte to Tampa, I think, on my birthday. So I was like, oh, can't celebrate my birthday. And then somebody was like, why don't you just
celebrate whenever you want.
And I was like, all right. Yeah. So I guess I was kind of subconsciously using that as an excuse to not celebrate, but I think I'll try to do something before.
What else? Here's a very specific one. If you're out of mugs, if the mugs are all dirty, if they're in the dishwasher, maybe you don't own any and you just brewed some coffee. Mm-hmm. It took me 29 years to realize you can do this with a nudge from some magic of cinema to realize that you can actually just pour that shit into a ceramic bowl and you can drink your coffee that way.
Ceramic bowl? What do you mean?
You can pour coffee bowl? Into a bowl and you can drink it.
Like a cereal type bowl?
Yes. Like there is a movie called Swimming Pool by Francois Ozon. It's a French movie. And I forget the name of the actress. She's like pretty, she's not that famous. Well, she's kind of famous in France. But the movie does star Charlotte Rampling, which she's great. But the young actress in the movie, every scene of her in the kitchen, she's pouring coffee into a bowl and drinking that way. And I just thought, I had never thought of doing that. Like it looks silly, but it's kind of a vibe. So, yeah.
What if you're out of bowl? What if you don't own bowls?
You're shit out of luck. But maybe you just, I don't know. I might try that. I might try to do that. You know, and I'll let you know how the experience goes.
Yeah,
and we'll see if there's a good reaction or a bad reaction.
Yeah, this looks like a
either do we do or do we do not?
Yeah,
do that.
Yeah. All right. I'm throwing this on the Letterboxd watch list. Looks like a
sexy as hell.
I hadn't used the word like sexy and I don't know how long, and I was recently chilling with someone that was just using it for like everything, but like whether it was like a movie or like a song, etc. And I was like,
you know who uses the word sexy a lot?
But
creatives. They use it marketing and fucking advertising, all the good stuff. They're always like, yo, can we make this more sexy? Like, I love this graphic you made, but can we just make it like a little sexier? Like they love saying that. And like, I don't know. Do they want, like, sometimes when I'm like cooking, I'm just like, yo, do you want some tits on there? Like, what do you mean? Like, by sexy, like, oh, like, I don't know. But you know, usually what it means, it usually kind of just like, if here's a really quick fix. Like if it's something is very like light and airy and you need to look sexier.
Mm-hmm.
Make it black. There you go. Make it black.
Make it black. Got it.
So,
got it.
I don't know, man. Any other do's or don'ts?
Cool. Do we book a, especially if you, I had a lot of people that DM me when I posted that photo after the Sophie facial saying that, Sophie worked wonders for their acne after they kind of like consistently went with her for a while. So if you're, you know, if you're suffering from acne issues that you want to get a hold on, give Sophie a call.
Better call Sophie.
And that's all I got.
That's it. Yeah, all right.